Hello everybody, I hope we are all well. This is the FBL Banter Pod, my name's George. I apologise in advance for the sore throat, the runny nose. Developed a bit of a cold over this Easter period, which is a bit annoying, but we move. What a week of football. Obviously we had our normal FPL week with the added double from Newcastle and Crystal Palace, and we also had the Champions League games, the Europa games as well. Unlucky to Villa, they gave it a really good go, but they just couldn't get past PSG, but they had them on the ropes at one point and you kind of thought they were going to at least take them through extra time. I think the Rashford subbing was a bit of a mistake because Rashford was cruising, probably having his best game for Villa. He took Watkins off for him, but maybe they should have just got sort of gone gung-ho and had Rashford and Watkins together. Fair play to PSG though. They're probably, other than, I'd say, well, it's between Arsenal and Barcelona, isn't it, in terms of the best team in Europe at the moment. In terms of that competition anyway. So I think it'll be one of them three, but, you know, don't count Inter Milan out. They've been there before. I think they're in the final, was it 2 years ago, I think? So they know how to get there, Inter Milan. And then we had the Europa drama. Obviously, Chelsea going through with ease, which was to be expected. They've been walking that competition ever since, and I don't see them not winning it. Even though there's the odd frailty with Chelsea at the moment. Obviously, Palmer not in form, and somehow Cucurella is the highest goal scorer for Chelsea, apparently, which is just mental. They should win that. And then we had obviously Spurs and United. They're what we're calling all or nothing games, really. I don't think it was such all or nothing for Man United, because I think no matter what happened last night, Amorim would still have the job. He'll still have a proper pre-season to try and fix the mess United are in. And, I mean, what a win for United last night. What a win. 4-2 down in extra time against a 10-man Lyon. I mean, the media was just waiting for that game to finish and them to, you know, batter United as the media and all of us have all season, really. And rightly so, because they've been awful, United. They really have. And that's just everywhere. That's from Radcliffe to the players to the to the manager, but why we love football, and this is why we love football. 4-2 down 10 minutes ago, they get a penalty, Bruno slots it away brilliantly. Bruno, I tell you what, Bruno, he's earned his stars from me, especially. I didn't rate him at one point. I thought he's a bit overrated. He's you know, he moans a lot. He just rolls on the floor. But I tell you what, this season, he shows he cares for United, which is good for them. And he genuinely is a world-class player. And I never really said that about Bruno before, but he really is world-class. And you wonder if United didn't have him, where they'd be. Yeah, he slotted the penalty away, and then Mainoo with a terrific finish, absolutely brilliant to get it back to 4-4. And then a minute later, bloody Harry effing Maguire, Mr. Slabhead, comes up with a perfect header, brilliant header, looped over the top of the guy, basically gave him a little nudge saying, out of my way, bang, in the back of the net. And United end up going through, not even on penalties. I thought, right, Mainoo scored. We're going to see it go to penalties now. But they went on and they got the winner, and fair play to them. And, you know, maybe Amorim does deserve a bit of credit. I think United have Just saying the United pod, by the way. But I think United have looked better under Amorim. People are going to say, what about last week, losing to Newcastle? I think Newcastle are just on a different level at the moment. And in terms of how the way they attack and the way United defended that day, they had one eye on that Europa game. Let's not, you know. And again, I'm not saying anyway from Newcastle. They were brilliant. They were brilliant. But really, it was, they scored from two mistakes, really three, Newcastle in that game. But I trust in this manager. I think he's a good manager. He knows what he's doing. And the board have to back him. The board have to back him. Like they backed Ten Hag. I know that went wrong. But I think this guy comes in. He's young. He knows what he wants. He don't have the players to do what he wants to do. Someone said it on the Slack group yesterday, and basically quoting Gary Neville, and he said it was a quote from Gary Neville. They're just not a good team anymore, United, and that's all it is right now. They got players that aren't that very good, that have spent a lot of money. They need to get them off the wage bill. Amorim needs to build a squad that he wants so he can play his style of football properly, and we may see a better United next season. Onana's not the answer for me. I think they need a new keeper. They need a striker who can score goals. Xerxes was just sort of, before the injury, Xerxes was sort of starting to go, well, hang on, I'm here. But no, I still think Man United need a striker. And a few wing backs as well, I think, and maybe another midfielder to help Bruno a bit. But yeah, no, credit to United. And then there was Spurs. Spurs was all or nothing. This was it for Ange. This is how I keep my job, sort of thing for Ange. and credit to Spurs. I know they won by penalty and they rode their luck a little bit with some of the chances Frankfurt had, but I thought they were brilliant, you know, at Spurs. I thought they were very professional, very disciplined, you know. And to be fair, that's the first time that the main Spurs back four has been the back four since the 8th of December. So, in that sense, you kind of got to give Ange a bit of, not credit, but you kind of got to give him a bit of leeway to go, guys, I've not had my proper back four for 4 months. 4 months. He's basically not had his back four. Their league position, absolutely, it's terrible. And it shouldn't be happening. Even with the injuries, I don't think that league position should be happening. But in Europe, in cup competitions, Spurs have been very good. And they won last night. They're playing Bodo. So you like to think Spurs get to the final. I think United have a harder trip to the final. Bilbao are a very good Spanish side. And United always seem to struggle against these Spanish sides. But I would love it. I mean, Spurs and United fans would hate it. But I would love, as a neutral, an English final would be great. And with United and Spurs on similar paths at the moment, it would be such a tasty final. But we shall see. And credit to Arsenal as well. I forgot to mention Arsenal. They've been brilliant over the two legs against Real Madrid. Taking nothing away from Arsenal, but I think Madrid are a bit, I don't know, they're just not clicking at the moment. I think another Madrid on another day may have, you know, made Arsenal sweat a bit, but they didn't really make Arsenal sweat at all. And it seems to be a team where and Ancelotti's just literally gone, right, you're expensive. I'll chuck you on. There's no sort of unity within that Madrid squad side at the moment. But look, fair play to Arsenal. Rice was brilliant. Saliba was brilliant. Saka's one of the best on that right. I think Saka's probably top three on that right-hand side, best players in the world at the moment. He's that good. I think he's brilliant. So yeah, that was all the European action, and then our FPL weeks. I before that double, that Newcastle Palace game, I was having a stinker. I was having an absolute stinker. I'd done a TikTok about it, but I had Asensio miss two penalties. I think he's the third or fourth player to do that, to miss two penalties in the same game. I don't know how he got a two, to be honest, but he got a two. And then I had a Milenkovic clean sheet wiped away from me at the last minute. So, yeah, it wasn't a good week. I think I had that time, I had points from Marmoush, Murphy, and trying to think who else. If someone else, but I can't think who it was. Anyway, it was a stinker. It was a real stinker. I was on a 34k red arrow, and then all of a sudden, Newcastle game, Pope saves a penalty, which is just an awful pen by SA, by the way. I don't know what he's doing. He's not even hit it with any power. It's almost like he's miskicked it. And he was stuttering and just odd. Really, really, excuse me, really odd penalty. So I had a Pope save, which is great. And then I had a Murphy goal, a Murphy assist, an Isak goal, but everyone had Isak. So I ended on a 77 with a 9k red arrow. I sort of expected a red arrow because of I had no chips. Obviously, if Asensio scored at least one of them penalties, I probably may or may not have been maybe the smallest green arrow, but it wasn't to be. So we move on to 34, and this was always the big one. 34 was the big one where the plan was made. I'd done my wild card with Sam, and the plan was always bench boost this week. Game week 33, so bench boost 33, free hit 34, and then, so that that would have been the end of my chip. So 35 to 38, it would have been slog it out, basically. I'll be honest, the last 2 weeks I stressed myself out about FPL, about trying to make the right decision. And this week I've gone, I don't know if it's rogue, maybe it is a little bit rogue, but I've taken a hit and I'm bench boosting. So I had two free transfers, so I made three transfers. I thought De Bruyne was absolutely sensational against Palace. I thought he was amazing. And he's come out, he said he's pain free, he's ready to go. I think he obviously wants to end his Man City career on a high. He wants to get him to the Champions League. And he just wants a nice little farewell. It's probably why he announced it when he did. So he can enjoy his last few games at City. The fans can enjoy it, especially the home ones. And I just thought it was sensational. And I said to myself after that game, yeah, I've got to get KDB in. Now, in order to get KDB in, I've had to basically sell my Newcastle, which is bonkers, I know, considering they scored 10 goals in the last two. But they're playing a Villa side, who I think, some people seem to think that's it. Villa will sort of go down, that will knock them for six, that PSG loss, and they'll kind of go on a little rut. I think the opposite. I think they played very well against PSG and they were unlucky. And they would have seen their campaign in the Champions League go and gone, do you know, I want that again. I want to do that again. And I think they will. And I think, I don't care what anyone says, Villa Park against this Emery side is probably one of the hardest fixtures in the Premier League. It's such a hard place to go, Villa. I think Brentford have won there once in the Premier League. I think we've won there once in the Premier League in our 4-year tenure. but a load of other teams, not just Brentford, but a load of other teams struggle at Villa Park. They're a very good side. And Emery's still got on ticking, even now. They're still in an FA Cup semi-final, so they've got that to look forward to as well. So I thought, right, if there's a game to take out your Newcastle assets, despite how good they've been, I think this is it. It's two teams that will be tight. They'll keep it tight. There may be the odd goal. And look, if a certain player scores, then it may hurt my rank. It may not. Because some people may have the same idea as me. I will be free hitting in 34. And then I'll probably bring back one or two Newcastle players in 35. So, Isak has gone. Now, that's probably a bigger one than Murphy, because Murphy was more still of a differential, where Isak was, as it stands, he's 60% owned. So it's a big player to lose in a week like this. But it was the only way I could fund KDB. It was the only way I could get another Villa player in. It was always about attacking the doubles and then free hitting him in 34. And then we'll see where my team's at in 35 and deal with it then. But it was always attack the doubles. And I've now got 10 doubles. I've got 10 doubles with a bench boost for this game week. Obviously, KDB's coming. And I've also got Rodgers and I've got Wissa for that third striker spot that Isak now doesn't have. Why Wissa? Probably a hint of Brentford bias. And with me going to the game as well. It didn't feel right not having a Brentford player in my FPL team the last couple of weeks. I've had it either in Bremo or Wissa till the start of the season, really. And it's always nice to have one of your own in the team. And to be fair to Wissa and in Bremo, they've done really well this season. 31 goals between the season in 34 games, which people might say, well, that's not a lot really, but for Brentford, that's a good little partnership they've developed. And I think Wissa scored last week against Arsenal. And Wissa, I love Wissa, but I never really rated him as like our answer to Ivan Toney, because when Ivan Toney was in, Wissa was playing on the left. Now, because of the Thiago injury as well, Wissa has had to become our number nine. And he's actually proved me wrong. I think he's done brilliantly in that position. He's one of them who, you know, he's always there. He pops up. He's just a little fox in the box. And he's done really well. I thought the finish against Arsenal was brilliant. And he's done that a few times. He's not just scored. He's scored, with his technique, a really good goal. So the form is with Wissa. I nearly went Wood. And that was mainly because they were playing Spurs. And in the league, Spurs are crap. They saw last week against Wolves. They can't defend in a Premier League game at the moment. But I went back, and I know Wood was injured for quite a bit of it, and this was his first game back. But before that injury, he blanked his last three, and then he had the injury, and then he had a two last week, and he had a 0.01 XG on on goals and assists, I think. So the form ain't quite there with Wood, and I get it. They have Spurs, so I could get egg on my face here and Wood could go score a hat-trick against Spurs. Wouldn't put it past him. But I think with the momentum Spurs have now, that might lift them to, you know, try and get something in this game. And you do wonder if the Forest bubble is starting to burst. Because they're starting to... That was a blow for them, that Everton game. And that will... And with the Newcastle, the way they're playing, will put heat on them. City have now turned a bit of a corner, scoring five against Palace. So they're going to start kicking again. I think Villa have the motivation to go again and get one of those Champions League spots. So all of a sudden, Forest are under the cosh a bit. It was at one point it was almost like, yeah, they're in the Champions League, that's it. Now it's like, hang on. Because, you know, Chelsea, have hopefully got to wake up at some point. They drew last week against Ipswich, didn't they? But there's so that's all everyone's fighting for now. It's those European spots. Even the Europa ones, you know. You've got teams like Brighton, Bournemouth fighting for. We're not really in that category anymore, unfortunately. But we'll hopefully Brentford will still want to go on a try and get into that top half of the table, finishing the top half. So yeah, and so that's kind of my basis. I'm trying to sort of target those players fighting for Europe. Again, I know I've just got rid of two of my Newcastle assets, but it's literally because they've got a really hard game. If they were playing anyone weaker, I probably wouldn't have done this. I maybe would have sold Murphy to maybe get another doubler in, but you know. So I'll read you out my team for this week. So it is a bench boost I'm doing. So, bear with me. So, as I said, I'm bench boosting. So, I'll read out my whole team and they're all hopefully playing. I don't know what... there was a funny moment in the Ohana pod I listened to, the Patreon FPL family pod, and we all sort of, in my Zoom, the plan was always to bring in Wan-Bissaka, because they have Southampton. He's now bloody yellow flagged, so it's like, what the bloody hell's going on here? Apparently he's going to be fine. Apparently he is going to be fine. It was just sort of a late fitness check kind of thing for Wan-Bissaka. But when we saw his yellow flags, we were like, what the flippers going on here? Anyway, so my two goalkeepers are Henderson and Pope. Palace, how can you go from being the best away side in the league to conceding 10 goals in two games? Good lord. I know they had a few out, and but geez, have they fallen off here. I think a little bit is to do with the FA Cup, but at the same time, you know, they could have sneaked a European spot or at least battled for one. But after those two games, I think they're pretty much nowhere near it now. But they have Bournemouth at home and then Arsenal away. Now, Arsenal will be looking to rest a couple, I think. Arsenal will start to rotate. And there's a bit of a worry around Arsenal and who you pick. Because I do want Arsenal and I've got two Arsenal currently. But with them still in the Champions League, there's going to be a sense of rotation with Arsenal. And I think that's going to be the same with some of the teams that are still in the FA Cup, some of the teams that are still in Europa. FPL-wise, we're not looking at Man United Spurs anyway, but there's still going to be a bit of rotation through these teams and a lot of on-the-beach teams. So, but yeah, I've kind of taken a swing. I've kind of gone a go big or go home kind of thing in this double. Because I wanted more Liverpool as well, but I just couldn't get there. I just thought, right, I have to attack the doubles because of the bench boost chip. And, you know, I've got a 9K red arrow, as I said, and I kind of just want to go, right, we're going to go big or go home now, because there needs to be a few differentials in my team to win the mini leagues that I want to win and to get as high as possible as I can in the FPL overall. But yeah, so my team, Henderson and Pope, and then I have Munoz, Vardiol, Saliba, Milenkovic and Wan-Bissaka. And then I have All my midfielders are in 11, but bench boost anyway. So I have Salah, Rodgers, Asensio, Saka and De Bruyne. So I've got double Villa in that midfield. Again, Villa have hard games. They got Newcastle at home, then City away. Two massive games that they need to try and win to get Champions League football. So I see both in these games there will be goals. I think there'll be more goals in the City game than this game, because Newcastle are a good side defensively. But I think City, even though City are clicking, I don't think all of a sudden they know how to defend. So I think Villa can get in them. I did want Rashford. I just couldn't quite get there, unfortunately. And then I have a forward three of Marmoush, Wissa and Mateta. So the only conundrum I have at the moment is the captaincy. You could go anywhere. You could go De Bruyne. You could go Marmoush. You can go Rodgers. You could go, I suppose, Mateta, because he will start. But after what happened last week, I wouldn't go anywhere near that. You can even go Salah. I know Salah has a single game week, but there's a lot of good news around Liverpool now with the Salah contract signing and the Van Dijk signing that was last night. And they're playing Leicester, who are basically down and out anyway. So Liverpool might have a bit of fun. You know, Salah, I'll be amazed if Salah don't get something. If I was you, I'd still get a double captaincy. But if you went Salah, I wouldn't hate it, because Leicester are that bad. Salah could easily score a hat-trick in the first half. So, yeah, the only thing, as I said, the only issue now is the captaincy. At the moment, it's on De Bruyne for a differential. And if he plays like he did against Palace, we should be getting a haul. Whether it's three assists or two goals and assist, I think De Bruyne does some magic again. But it's probably between him and Marmoush. I'm not convinced with Saka. I don't think he'll get the minutes. I don't think he'll start against Ipswich. I think he may start against Palace at home, but I think he'll be benched for the Ipswich game. So I it's more about finding someone who I look at and go, right, who's going to start both games? And you could argue that's a risk for De Bruyne as well, because even though he said he's fine, he may not. Pep might you know, manage his minutes and go, look, I know you said you're fine, but I'm not going to start you on both. I'm going to start you in the home game and maybe bring you on in the Everton game. We'll see. But if they want Champions League football, you see, I think they have to play De Bruyne. They have to start. If he's fine, you start De Bruyne. That's the way I see it. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed the pod. Again, sorry about my nose and my voice. It's a bit blocked up today. But this is recording on Friday, so good Friday. Happy Easter. And good luck in all your teams, and green arrows.